What up, everyone? Today we are going to be talking to Rob Schamberger, and he is WWE's exclusive artist, and he's going to kind of take us through the journey of being an independent artist to getting one of the best deals in the art world, according to Forbes. And he's doing some big things with WWE, and he's got a lot of knowledge in the business and the industry, and we're going to get into it with them. Before we get into this interview, wanted to let everybody know, you got to go check out my boys over at the SD Law Firm, Anthony Medina, AM Law Firm, SDLawFirm.com. He's got a lot of stuff that a whole wealth of knowledge when it comes to the law, the whole law world over here, and he's been helping a lot of people out in the community. Any kind of startup needs you may need, and any kind of nonprofit stuff you may need, he's your boy. Make sure you check him out, Anthony Medina, over at the SDLawFirm.com, AM Law Group, and he's doing it, and I appreciate him, and he's helped me out when we went to go start the stuff that we're doing with Love Thy Neighbor. So make sure you check him out, and let's get into it with Rob Schamberger. Let's do this. Get connected. Get connected.
Yo, if you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on an industry. Connected.
Rob, how you doing, man? Thanks for coming on the show, man. I know you're a busy man, so appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on, Ruben.
How's everything out in Kansas City?
Oh, doing good, doing good. We're past the winter time and pretty gorgeous out right now.
Nice, nice. And you're going to be doing some traveling coming up soon, right?
Yeah, going down to Dallas at the end of the month for WrestleMania. I'll be painting live there. And then less than a week later, after that, I go to Vegas for the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion. Going to be painting live there as well.
Nice, nice. So let's go ahead and jump right into this. I know you've been painting for a long time, and you caught my attention and other people's attention, I guess, you know, by you kind of designated, kind of got into the niche of doing painting wrestlers. Tell me about that.
Yeah, for a long time I was trying to be a comic book artist and had a little bit of success, but it was still, you know, I needed to have a day job. You know, my day job was paying for my art career. And I just kind of had to sit with the man in the mirror and say, you know, this approach that I'm taking right now isn't working. And, you know, I still wanted to be an artist, but I saw that I needed to do it differently. And at the same time, I had been doing gallery work, and my wife was pushing me on that. But even there, I was competing with every other artist that was doing similar subject matter, whether it was jazz portraits or architectural landscapes or pinup stuff. You know, I was competing with everyone else that was already established with those genres. So I was trying to find something else that I could stand out. And I realized that no other fine artists were doing serious work about pro wrestling. You know, it was either like hipster ironic stuff or bluntly subpar work. And I thought, well, you know, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm an art fan. And I bet that there's other people out there that would feel the same. And turned out I was right. Things took off pretty quick right from when I started.
And you started doing just, was it all your favorite wrestlers or because I know you had a line of, you were doing all the champions for a while, right?
Yeah. I'm still working on that. And that's where it started. I call it the Champions Collection, and I did a Kickstarter with it, I think about 4 years ago. And, was able to raise $20,000 in a month, which allowed me to move away from having a day job, get a studio, and really focus on the work. And with that collection, I'm doing larger paintings of every world champion from all of the major American promotions. So like WWE, WCW, all that stuff, and going back to 1905 with the first ever world champion, George Hackenschmidt, and then also, you know, updating it to now. So there'll be about 250 portraits when that's all done. Wow. And I've done about half of it so far.
Wow. And for those that don't know your work, how would you describe your style, and what is the medium that you usually use?
Awesome.
The style is awesome.
My work is amazing.
I love it.
I work with a variety of things. The comic book background that I have leads me to have a more graphic type style. I use a lot more black than most fine artists do. I'm not afraid to use contrast. So comic books and street art are very influential on the work I do. And yeah, I work with a variety of mediums. The Champions Collection part is a lot of mixed media work. So acrylic, oil, spray paint, paint marker, you know, just whatever gets me the feeling that I want for the specific piece that I'm doing. Also do quite a bit with watercolor and ink. Watercolor is so unpredictable, and I love just letting it do what it wants to do and not trying to force it, you know, to be something else. And then I can tighten it up with the ink. But yeah, just try to keep it fresh. That way also, I don't fall into being known for just one style. And, you know, when you do that, you eventually fall out of style. You know, you become, you know, like something that the kids just kind of see as old hand, you know?
Yeah.
So I try to constantly push myself forward.
Is it, do you usually use canvas or wood, or is there different, different materials you use to paint on?
Yeah. Yeah. I do, different materials as well. Some wood panels, some canvas, with watercolor, you want to do that on paper. So I have a variety of watercolor papers that I'll use. Yeah, just whatever is most appropriate for the medium that I'm also using, and to get the final feeling and look that I want from the painting.
Yeah, and I noticed I'd seen recently some other stuff that I just seen some stuff out on Instagram that looked kind of similar to what you're doing, and I was like, man, you know, these guys are keeping an eye on Rob. But is there anybody that has influenced you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Obviously, again, the comic book background, I'm very much paying attention to, but also I spend like half an hour to an hour every morning before I start working, just looking at other artists' work. That's another way to stay on top of things, because all the art is problem solving, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have this image that you want, and you have these this medium that you're working with, and you know, a certain size or whatever. So it's all just problem solving to get to that final look that you want. So I'll look at how other artists solve those problems as well. You know, whether it is combining different medium in a certain way, or a color palette, or, you know, different approaches with technique. I look at that and see how I can bring that back to what I do.
How long have you been painting?
I kind of got into it in high school, but again, I was, you know, more working on the illustration side. But back around, I'd say around like 2000, 2001, I started getting serious about painting again. and have just been building on it since then.
What was that that one point where you were like, you know what, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life? What was that moment for you?
I was 7 years old, and my older stepbrother brought me back an issue of The Incredible Hulk from Quick Trip. Let's see, I've got it hanging on my wall here. It's issue 349. It's the Hulk fighting the Absorbing Man on Hoover Dam. We spent the whole weekend redrawing everything from it, and I just knew right then, this is what I want to do.
Nice. Now, was it as a kid, did you just pick up pencil, crayons, whatever, and just start? And then at high school, you're like, oh, I'm taking this serious. What was that? What was the beginning like for you?
Yeah. It was whatever medium I could get my hands on, pencil, colored pencil, whatever. And then in sixth grade, I was 12. I wrote and drew my first comic book, for the school project. The thing was supposed to be a 3-panel comic strip thing. Instead, I over the weekend did a whole comic book. Just started, saying well, this worked out, and how can I do better? Started going to comic book conventions, having other artists look at what I was doing, even as a 12 or 13 year old, and seeing what kind of feedback that they could give me, and just going back to the drawing board every time with what I learned from that, as well as, especially in high school, I had an exceptional art program, our school did, and just learned there, went in with an open mind and listened to what teachers were saying, and realizing that at 16, 17 years old, I really didn't know it all. And, just listen to them.
Yeah. What was the best piece of advice that you've gotten up to this point? And as far as, in the field you're in?
It was a guy that wasn't even an artist. I was at a comic book store, and he was talking about the owner of the shop, and he was talking about a friend of his that was a musician that never recorded anything, because all he was, oh, that old stuff is terrible, and you should listen to what I'm doing now. And by the time he was done with that, it was terrible, right? Because, he just wanted to get on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, yeah, but I love this other stuff you did. You should, record that. And he's like, oh, no one wants to listen to that.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not getting hung up on what I'm doing, and also realizing that I don't have to like it. The audience does. All that I see with my past work is everything that I could have done better, and everything I learned from that to what I'm doing now. But also, realizing that I can get out of the way and other people can like what I've already done too.
Yeah. What's some of the struggles as an artist that you've dealt with up to this point, and maybe prior to doing business with WWE?
Well, it's really hard to make money. I really lucked out when I realized that no one else was doing serious work about wrestling. For decades before, I had to have that day job to pay for my art career. So with that, it's finding an audience for your work and then delivering the work that audience wants to purchase. That's tough. Also, there are certain things as an artist, we're super sensitive people, that whole sensitive artist thing doesn't come out of nowhere. So when you get to a point where I'm at the moment with, being highly visible and then also having all these social media outlets, I have people daily telling me how terrible I am, right? A lot of times I have to remind myself, okay, there's one or two people that are saying this crap, but there's dozens to hundreds a day that are saying very complimentary things about the work I'm doing. So it's focusing on those good things, but also not, still trying to stay humble as well. You know, not just like walking around like, hey, I'm the man, I have to, still have a self-critical eye, but not letting the detractors get to me.
Well, how'd you go about getting noticed by WWE?
I had that Kickstarter, so I was focusing on wrestling art, but I wasn't really knocking on WWE's door. I still felt I had to prove myself. So I was doing a lot of wrestling type events, and I was at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa, and met Jim Ross and Jerry Briscoe there. Showed them my work. They liked what I was doing and traded contact information, but that was about it. Jim Ross was still with WWE, but I still didn't feel like I was ready, even though Jim was, saying like, hey, I can make the call right now. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not ready yet, which is nuts. But it's where I felt like at the time. Well, flash forward about a year, and WWE's SmackDown show was coming through Kansas City, and I thought, well, this would be a good opportunity to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It's an important organization to me, and WWE works with them quite a bit. So I put together a fundraiser gallery show with my work and all the proceeds from it going to Make-A-Wish. And I reached out to Jim to see if he could pass my information along to the company just to get word out about the show. And he did, and they did. Like, Triple H tweeted out about it to his, 2 million followers or whatever. And we had a good success with the show. But unbeknownst to me, Jim went the extra distance and called a bunch of the executives at the company and said, you need to work with this guy. And then I get a call from the head of consumer goods for WWE and, tells me about, that they had a department head meeting where everybody was pitching on how they could work with me and different things. And it's just been going from there. Pretty incredible.
Wow. Yeah. That's like a dream come true for most right there. That's a whole nother level, taking it to on a corporate level. What is it they do, to promote you? I know you brought up, the social media aspects, but how far do they take getting to get your art noticed?
Yeah. Initially they have their own auction site that's like eBay, and we would sell some original paintings through there. That was just kind of a dipping the toes in the water thing. I think they wanted to get a good feel for me before they committed further, that went pretty well. And I started going to shows like backstage to interact with the talent and do some things together. And then for WrestleMania 30, which would be 3 years ago, they brought me out to paint live out front of their, they call it Access, which is like their own convention that they do in the days leading up to WrestleMania. So they brought me out to paint live there. Which was just, there was my life before that moment and my life after, and they're very different things.
I bet.
During that, was when the Ultimate Warrior came back into working with the company. And I, had the honor, Warrior reached out to me directly to hand paint the jacket that he wore in what ended up being final appearance.
Yes. I've seen that.
So, that was tremendous and humbling. And, there was definitely my life before where people were like, oh yeah, I think I've heard of you, or, oh, what you're doing is neat, to like, after that, like everyone knew who I was, to where like I'm walking down a street and I get stopped. Nice. And then, shortly after that, We started selling posters and prints on their online shop store. And they also sell them at the live events as well. And then soon after that, we started doing a YouTube show where every week people get to see how I do a painting. And that's gotten pretty crazy as well. Like, we're up to like 150,000 to a quarter million views a week on that, which, again, you know, that was a big difference maker. Having that amount of people watching what I'm doing, that's like, there's a lot of TV shows that would kill for those ratings.
That's a lot of eyes.
And now we have a t-shirt line that's tied into that show, so that you get to watch me make this painting, and then right afterwards you can actually click like right on the YouTube video, and it takes you to be able to buy a shirt with that painting on it.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, this isn't a kind of deal that just anybody can get. I mean, there's artists, and I deal with a lot of artists as well, and this is, you know, some artists, I'm sure they kind of want to stay on their own, and hey, you know, no thanks, you know, not even necessarily it's an ego thing, but some people just want to, no, I'm just going to go ahead and do my own thing. But some people strive for a deal like what you have, and this is, I mean, even like wrestlers would die to even just, you know what I'm saying, get a deal like to work with WWE in the way that you have, man. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, and the really crazy part is how awesome they've been to work with. You know, like coming from the comic book background and all those horror stories of how, you know, Marvel and DC, you know, took advantage of like Jack Kirby or Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster with everything that they created. You know, when I started working at WWE, I was right up front and saying, I have to own my work. And so they actually licensed from me.
Oh, wow.
I'm not, you know, like a contract employee or an employee or anything. You know, they license for me. So like, if you get a shirt or a print or whatever, I'm getting a percentage, which is just unheard of, to the point that like last year Forbes did an article saying that I have the best deal in the art world.
Wow.
Awesome. And then also like going back to that artistic integrity thing, I was doing the wrestling art before WWE approached me. Like the wrestling art I'm doing because that's the work I want to do, right? Not because that's the work that a client's paying me to do. So, you know, it's almost more like a, like having a patron, like back in the days of Renaissance artists or whatever, you know, like was Michelangelo selling himself out when he was working for the Catholic Church? Well, you know, maybe, but you know, that's kind of more how I see it. And they actually call me their resident artist instead of, you know, WWE artist or, well, and that's another thing, like they brand everything with my name. It's not just here's WWE art. One, like they make sure that my signature is on everything. And then like through their website, it's Rob Chamberger Art. Which is pretty dang cool.
Heck yeah, that is awesome. And I know you've been doing a lot of stuff backstage too, and I've seen some stuff where you're back there and some of the wrestlers are actually like back there kind of painting with you or doing some hands-on stuff. What's some of the most memorable moments you've had backstage?
Well, the most memorable one wasn't exactly the best day at the office. The current Intercontinental Champion, Kevin Owens, I was doing a painting of John Cena, who he was going to be facing that night. We were doing a video where they were going to promote that I was painting live out front of the stadium in, or the arena in St. Louis. And Kevin Owens walks up, grabs the painting, destroys it.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That was the best day at the office. But I was traveling along with them because it's right here in the area where I live. So the next night was Raw in Kansas City, and I was painting in the back, and they were starting to plan a walkthrough with Stephanie McMahon and Triple H, and I was like, oh gosh, like, here we go. Like, I'm going to have to like tear down where I am, cause they're walking right by where I'm set up. And they come up and they're like, hey, you know, we're sorry about what happened yesterday. And you know what, instead of a walkthrough, how about we start off with us talking with you, putting you and your work over, and then we'll go along with our segment.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, that works. Yeah. You know, like, you know, Raw gets around 4 million viewers a week. So that's pretty nice. And then that was another one where that turned out to be a really big show. That was where The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar had this huge battle where like the whole roster had to tear them apart. And, you know, so there was a lot of coverage for that show.
Yeah,
well. And there I am, part of it. Yeah. My wife and my parents were sitting in the front row just because, you know, I like to hook them up whenever the show's in town. I didn't know it was going to happen, so they definitely didn't know. So they're just, you know, like all of a sudden they're on the big screen. There's me.
That's awesome. That is
that
awesome.
Was pretty amazing.
Some proud parents right there.
And then another really huge moment, which really reinforced why I do what I do. They have a charity that they founded called Connor's Cure that helps out with research towards pediatric cancer, and named after a young man, Connor Mahalik, that passed away.
Very touching video.
And oh yeah, and I became friendly with his father, Steve. Did a painting of Connor pinning Triple H with Daniel Bryan, and sent that to Steve, and he said to me that, you know, this was the first time he was able to look at anything from that time, because all he was able to see was how sick his son was, and the way that I painted it, he was able to see the son that he remembered before he got sick. And so we became friendly, and then last year at the Hall of Fame ceremony, which was the night before WrestleMania, they started something called the Warrior Award in honor of the Ultimate Warrior, that honors people that do a lot to help out their community. And so posthumously, Connor was the first recipient.
Wow.
And I reached out to WWE to say, hey, you know, as a surprise for Steve, what if I do a painting of Connor with Warrior, you know, together, mm-hmm. and we could surprise Steve with it at the show. Mm-hmm. And they thought that was a great idea. They had my wife and I backstage at Hall of Fame and I was having to hide the painting from Steve, you know, like, we're friendly, so we were talking quite a bit, and he's like, oh, is that a painting for something later on? I'm like, oh yeah, but you know, I can't let anyone see it. Don't worry, Steve. You'll see it later on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So after he does his speech at Hall of Fame, he comes in the back, and they had me hiding behind a curtain. And, you know, they talk with him briefly about the speech, and they say, and we've got one more surprise for you. And I come out and, you know, give him and his other son, Jackson, the painting. And Steve said, that not only do I have this painting to look on, but now Jackson has something to remember his brother by.
Wow.
Which I just hadn't thought about at all, but oh, you know, just really hit home.
Wow.
And you know, it was a really cool moment. And then, you know, like, they turned the lights off, you know, because, like, you know, they got the bright lights on you to film everything. They turned the lights off, and standing there are Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, and Triple H. They were watching the whole thing. I had no idea. And, you know, Vince just nods at me and then, you know, goes back to the show. And that's pretty much the only interaction Vince and I have had. But it was really special, really neat.
Wow, it sounds like it. And now, you know, you're doing something with Bret Hart for the Prostate Cancer Center of Calgary. Is that about right?
Yes. When it was announced, you know, with Bret having prostate cancer, a mutual friend of ours someone that books him for some events here in the U.S. Reached out to me to see if I could do a limited edition of Brett, a limited edition print of Brett, and that we could use as a fundraiser for, you know, the charity of Brett's choice. And Brett had just gotten home from his surgery, and through Brett's agent and Natalia that I'm friends with, his niece, we settled on Prostate Cancer Center of Calgary, and that's been amazing too. When it's all said and done, we'll have raised $3,000 for that.
Wow, that's amazing. And is there any other personal charities that you're personally getting involved with outside of WWE?
Yeah. I still do some work with Make-A-Wish, and my biggest cause that I've decided to settle on is education. So I work a lot with local schools, both talking to the kids and secretly paying for some scholarships for them to go to some art programs and the like. Showing them that, like, hey, I did a recent talk at the high school I graduated from and said, like, hey, I was literally, like, actual definition, like, back when literally meant literally in the dictionary, I was literally sitting where you are right now. And, you know, just through hard work, I was able to get myself to the spot where I'm currently at. And that, you know, really hit home with a lot of the kids.
And for those aspiring artists like those kids in that room, what advice would you give another artist that is coming up, that is hungry and wants to take things to another level as far as business wise, the way that you have? What words of advice do you have?
In the marketing world, marketing and advertising, they have a saying that there's three things you need for your brand to be a success: to be the first, to be the best, or to be different. If you can be one of those things, you've got a really good chance to succeed. If you can find a way to hit two, you're going to succeed. I lucked out, but I was able to identify that there, for the art world, no one else was doing portraits of wrestlers. So that made me different. And in the wrestling world, no one was doing wrestling art, right? So I was first. So that gave me the two, and I leave it up to other people to decide if I'm the best. But I at least had those two, so I was able to stand out. So anyone else that wants to come in doing wrestling art, you're no longer going to be the first or different. Unless you have a totally different way of doing the art, right? So then it's up to you to not only have a higher level of craft than I do, but to have made all the connections that I have. And you're now competing against me. Yeah. So a lot of people, they'll accept that challenge, and eventually someone will do it, right? Like, I'm totally, you know, confident and cool with that. But there's also other ways that they could look at doing the art that they want to do to stand out and be different and to be a success without having to necessarily compete against anyone. So, you know, just looking at that. Another thing is learn business. Learn, you know, how to manage your business when you get to a point that, you know, to work with an accountant. So, you know, like, as an artist, especially as a freelance or fine artist, you're the sole proprietor of a business, and you have to treat it as such. If say someone's wanting to do wrestling art, you can't call it fan art, right? Or if you're doing comic book art or if you're going to do portraits of Greta Garbo or whatever, can't call it fan art. You have to be an artist, and you have to handle yourself as such as a businessman. Also, you need to learn how to handle customer service type things. You need to learn how to handle, I handle the shipping of all my prints. So I had to learn about all that, you know, working with a printer, working with different shipping companies, when you need to upgrade, all those things you have to be cognizant of. Also, I handle all my own social media. So you have to learn how to handle customer service things, or be willing to learn.
So would you say that
all
it's,
the things you have to keep in mind.
Is it more like 60% art, 40% business? Is it, what's the balance there?
Oh man. I'd say 25% of my week is actually making art.
Oh, wow.
the rest is taking phone calls, emails, social media, or like those weekly videos that I do for WWE. I shoot all that. I edit all of it.
Wow.
I do the voiceover, all that stuff. And then, with shipping, the more popular you get, the more you have to handle that. And I'm not quite to the point where I could just hire someone to do it for me and still make as much money, you know? So I'm having to balance that time as well.
So are you shipping the stuff that you sell from the WWE site, or is it, how does that separate itself from the stuff you do?
There's some of that I will still do the shipping on. Like if it's an original, or I get prints signed by the wrestlers, those I'll still handle the shipping on. If someone buys like a shirt or one of the unsigned prints from their online store, they handle that. Plus I still have some stuff that I do on my own for my own website. And that's another thing, you know, I had to learn how to build a website.
Wow. You're doing it all.
Got to have all those skills. Yeah.
So without getting into the details of the aspect of your deal with WWE, can you touch a little bit on what it means to have a licensing deal and how it works?
It varies from company to company. The main thing on that is, finding the right percentage that works for everyone. And also, when they license the art from me that they sell, I'm making less per item on that than if I were to sell it myself, but the volume is way higher. So it definitely balances that out. Also, I'm not having to spend time on that. Yeah. In the business world, that's what they call passive revenue, where you're just paid and not doing any work for it, or work that you've already done in the past you're continuing to earn on.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, you know, and that's the way that I want to continue to get things towards, obviously, because then I can spend more time on my art. It's not because, you know, I just want to be lazy. But I do. I want to be able to focus more on the things that are more creatively fulfilling to me than, you know, putting things into a stay flat envelope and taking them to FedEx.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's gotta be hard, man. Having, you know, your one man show and kind of wearing all the hats, you know, it's not easy.
Yeah. But I'm also a control freak. you know, there will be things where I've, you know, let other people handle it, and I'm like, oh, that's not the way I would have done it. You know, it's kind of hard to let go of the reins as well.
So, is there other stuff that's in the works? You got a book coming out, or do you have a comic book coming out, or is there anything else that you're working on that you can talk about?
There's a lot that I'm working on, but very little I can talk about. I am planning to do a lot more appearances. The touring Wizard World comic book convention shows, I'm going to be doing quite a bit with them. Both, I'll be painting live there and selling prints and probably some shirts. Let's see, I've got Minneapolis and Des Moines and Chicago and Tulsa lined up for that. So doing appearances like that, that helps as well, getting the work seen in person by people. There's only so much you can get across looking at the image on a screen, you know. There's something to be like standing there in person and being able to fully get that experience that I intended for it.
Are you coming to the San Diego Comic-Con at all?
No, well, at least not currently. I've gotten to the point where I really only do shows that bring me out. You know, because if I'm doing that, I'm not doing all the rest of my business. So it needs to be something that pays off for me, you know. And with San Diego, it's such a monstrous show. That the chances of my signal making it past all the rest of the noise there is slim. And I can do things that'll make me more highly visible by not being there.
It doesn't WWE usually, they make quite an impact at Comic-Con too, right? Every time I've been out there, I know I've seen, you know, they're bringing out some of the stars, doing autograph signing, or they're doing something, you know, new toy or something. Is that something you think that maybe they'll bring you out to?
Maybe. You know, it's more their licensing partners, like Mattel or 2K Games, that bring the talent out. WWE themselves don't do a lot. That's more with Wizard. But, you know, like the toys and the video games are definitely big visibility items for them. So, you know, they'll definitely participate in that.
Nice. And on a personal note, what has been, like, who's your favorite wrestler then and now? And just a quick crazy story from backstage that you've had.
All-time favorite wrestler, the Bruiser Brody. Nice. He was a guy that was notoriously known for doing it his own way. Mm-hmm. And like we just talked about, that definitely rings true for me. And it's hard for me to say who's my favorite now because I know everyone. So yeah. If I answer that, I'm going to get a phone call like, hey, bro, you know, I thought we were tight.
Yeah, I thought I was your favorite. Nice.
But Brock Lesnar is definitely amazing. You know, he's one of those once-in-a-generation athletes. You know, he's up there with Muhammad Ali and Michael Jordan for what he can do physically. Definitely impressive. And, yeah, there's a quick story. I was painting in the back at Battleground in St. Louis last year, and I feel this presence behind me, right? Like this tangible feeling of something behind me. And I turn around and it's Brock. And we had never met. He's just on his own. He's prepping for a match. He's like pacing back and forth, watching the painting, like watching me paint.
You're painting him?
And I'm like, oh God. No, I was actually painting Cena, doing the replacement of the one that got destroyed. Uh-huh. And he's just watching. And I'm like, oh, man, is something about to go down here again? then the next night at Raw, he was with Heyman, because I knew enough not to say anything to Brock. He's not too different from what you see on screen. And he was with Heyman, and they're you know, walking along, and Paul and I have become friendly, and he's like, oh, hello, Mr. Schamberger, and, you know, stops to shake my hand, and Brock's right behind him, and I'm like, Brock, nice to meet you, and he kind of, like, looks, like, quizzically at my hand, and then shakes it, you know, it's like, he had to stop and think, like, oh, yes, shake hand, you know?
Nice. Nice.
We got a couple paintings. Like, what I'll do is I'll mat original paintings, and then I have the wrestler sign the mat instead of like signing on the painting, because that feels weird. But we wanted to get Brock to sign a couple, but you can't just go up to Brock and like put something in his face and hand him a pen and say, hey, sign this, right?
Yeah.
So So we found out his bus driver, because he has his own tour bus, his bus driver is an incredibly sweet man. And we've figured out that if you make a friendship with this guy, he'll take the stuff onto the bus, and Brock will do anything for this guy. So if he says, "Hey, can you sign this, Brock?" Brock's happy to do it. So that's how we were able to get that taken care of.
Nice. Finding the way through it. Is there any wrestler that you haven't painted yet that you want to?
It's a total cop-out answer, but it's the real one is the ones that I haven't done yet. yeah, right. There's especially with the Champions Collection thing, the ones of that I haven't done yet, I'm really looking forward to doing.
Nice. Are you, is it the Champion Collection? Is it WCW and WWE strictly, or are you doing any ECW, TNA, pretty much anything else, or just?
Yeah. All that and NWA, let's see, what all do I have? NWA, Ring of Honor, WWE, WCW, TNA, ECW, World Class, no, USWA had their own world title, AWA. Yeah, getting all that in there. Now I've got NXT. I'll probably be adding Lucha Underground.
I was going to ask about soon. That.
I'm a big fan of what they do. It's just, I've got a few qualifications that are totally arbitrary on my own end, but they're close to meeting those, and so I'll probably add them. I think I could really rock out Mil Muertes and Prince Puma paintings.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's your thought on what Lucha Underground is doing in the wrestling industry right now?
I equate it to the seasons in the fashion industry. So like one season you'll have what's in haute couture, like the stuff that you see on like the French runways or whatever. And then the step below that is what's sold in high-end boutiques. And then below that is department stores. And then the final one would be mass market, like Target or Walmart or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel that Lucha Underground is currently at the haute couture level. They're doing something that's really fresh and really new, and that a lot of other people are going to be and already are paying close attention to and seeing what they can cherry pick from that for their own thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're going to have a really profound impact on the wrestling industry. And we'll see it not so much now, like maybe 10, 20 years down the line, we'll be able to look back and say, oh, that's where all that came from.
Yeah. Nice. And the way that they're kind of pushing their show, I guess, in a sense, does it feel to you like it's more like a show, or is it more like novella-ish, or is it more, athletic? What do you think drives it?
It's a wonderful combination of all those things. Wrestling is a form of fictional entertainment. So it's a storytelling model, right? And there's the way that like WWE does it, which is different than how, like the old school NWA did it. Like ECW did it differently. And now Lucha Underground is doing it their own way. And that's fascinating to watch, just like, comic books, right? They're not just superheroes. There's also like, the Hernandez brothers with Love and Rockets. There's Art Spiegelman with Mouse, or, the works of Alan Moore or Frank Miller with Sin City. A lot of different types of things you can do with this storytelling medium. Same thing that we're seeing with Lucha Underground.
Yeah. I think they're doing a good job at kind of mixing all that stuff in together. And, I'm excited to see what's going to come next. I know, Ray's over there now, and they got some, a lot of the hot indie guys that are going over there, and they're making some noise. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, me too.
And real quick too, as far as I know, you're saying how you know you you sign the stuff that you do, and I try to ask everybody kind of on the branding side of things. How do you see branding yourself and branding your artwork when it comes to getting it out in the marketplace?
It's very important. It creates a personal connection with the buyers. You know, it's not them saying like, oh, I bought a John Cena painting. It's I bought a Rob Schamberger John Cena painting.
Yeah.
You know, creating that distinction, and it creates a more sense of ownership with the fan base as well. And something that, okay, at first, yeah, people were just buying a John Cena painting, right? But then as I continued to push it with my name and my branding, they initially, you know, at first bought it just because of the subject, but then they start building an awareness of what I'm doing. And also another thing with that is the general population can't really name a lot of artists off the top of their head, especially ones that were born, you know, like even in the 1900s.
Yeah.
You know, like, most of them can name like the Ninja Turtles and Bob Ross, you know.
Pretty Little Trees. Yeah.
Yeah. And with the amount of viewership that I'm getting now, they're learning about me and the type of work I do, and that opens them up to now knowing more artists and more types of art that they can then kind of gain that appreciation even further.
Yeah, because I noticed, I mean, you know, I had been following your work for quite some time now, and I've been noticing how WWE is attaching your name to all this, you know, every work you put out. And, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing when you can get someone that large to come beside you and help assist in branding the way that you want to. And that's kind of unheard of in any industry, really. So.
Yeah. Having a billion-dollar corporation backing what I'm doing definitely gives me some legitimacy that I wouldn't have been able to get on my own.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so, real quick, I know, you know, you got a show to watch, and I don't want to take too much of your time. We kind of already went over, but how can people find you and follow your work? I know your YouTube and Instagram, you got all kinds of stuff going on. Can you tell us how we can find you?
Yeah. On both Twitter and Instagram, it's at Rob Schamberger. That's RobSchamberger. Great name for podcasts. And it's Art of Rob Schamberger on Facebook. So it's like facebook.com/Rob Schamberger. Also weekly every Sunday on WWE's YouTube channel. You can, I have my show called Canvas to Canvas. You don't get it. And you can watch me on there. And also my own website, robschamberger.com. You can see I've done over 1,000 wrestling paintings. You can see them there. You can see what I've done so far with the Champions Collection. And I also have original paintings and some limited edition prints available as well.
Nice. Tell me a little bit more about the Canvas to Canvas.
Yeah, that's the YouTube video. But... playing off of from the wrestling canvas to the artist canvas.
I love that.
Although a lot of the paintings are done on paper, so the joke doesn't quite work, but we try.
Now, is this are you doing it only on YouTube, or is it podcasts? Are you going to get into podcasting? Are you doing any of that?
Maybe, you know, time allowing. Yeah. Because if I get into something, I want to really commit to it.
Yeah.
And so to do that is a major time commitment, and I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd love to have you come back and kind of update us on any of the stuff that you got going on next, because it's just interesting that, you know, the route that you're going and just to see your journey, you know, take off. I'd love to have you come back and kind of give us a part two of what you got going on, man.
Absolutely. Thanks.
So appreciate it. And I won't take too much of your time, but thank you, brother, for taking the time to come and share everything that all the knowledge, the wealth of knowledge that that you got. And, you know, hopefully, you know, any of those inspiring artists is going to, you know, kind of, you know, get that fire back and keep moving on, keep moving forward to chase their dream. And, you know, I think you're one of those stories of someone following their dream, not giving up and you know, succeeding. So congratulations on everything you're doing, brother.
Thanks so much, Ruben. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. And there you have it, Rob Schamberger. Make sure you guys check him out, follow him. And anybody that's listening to the show, the Connected Community, subscribe, rate, and review. And we are out. All up in your ear hole. Connected with Ruben Torres. Out of here.